Well, hello, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me. Let me know if you can in the chat. See if I can get this music off and we'll get the Wealth Property Chat going this morning. Out and about on the road today. So hopefully everyone's awesome and well, folks. Let me know in the chat if you can see me and hear me, if everything's going all right there. So, hopefully you're well. Got a few people maybe here early already, which is awesome. Great to have you here on. Welcome along. I'll do the quick intros as we do. Jason is my name. Most of you know that, though. If you're new, well, welcome. And this is what we call Wealth Property Chats. And a little bit of a get-together, a little bit of a catch-up in the morning for a coffee and a conversation about property investing and going the distance. I've been down in Sydney on the weekend catching up with some very cool, awesome business owners and entrepreneurs, all wanting to do really interesting and amazing things. So if any of you are on this morning, good to see you. Great to hang out with you on the weekend. But hopefully you're recovering, or at least not too tired after your few days down here in Sydney. It's Justin's in the house. Good to see you, Justin. Yeah, we've got Kylie. Good morning, Kylie, to you. Little thing I thought we might touch base on this morning, might be a little quick coffee chat today, won't be a long one, but, vacancy rates they're only getting lower, folks, and the rents are going up all over the place, which is great for us as property investors, right? You know, for all of us, we're thinking, all right, well, this is good, you know, it'd be great to be able to, get our rents up, cover the cost of our interest rates, that they're up high, you know, all of those sorts of things. And, what do we do in the coming months, weeks, years, when it comes to our incomes? And, there's some interesting things. Yeah. You might be right, Brendan. Yeah. I think, what have we got? I've got a bit of 5G on the, got a bit of 5G on the old, it drives me insane that, you know, the internet's rubbish at home and better on the road. But there you go. But, you know, something that's going on right now, 7,000 rooms short. What do you guys think that might be? 7,000 rooms short right now in the marketplace for this this category of occupant, category of occupant, not trying to give it away. What do you guys reckon? Tell me in the chat. 7,000 rooms short. In this space when it comes to the world of renting something, tenants of something. Does anybody know? We've got Chris in the house. Morning, Chris. And we've got Jeff there as well. Morning, Jeff. But tell me, what do you think, guys? If you're sitting there, do you know? If you don't know, I'll put you out in misery. There's Brett. How are you? Morning, mate. Good to see you. There is a real challenge going on in the world of student housing, right? Student properties right now in apartments. Well, Kylie, yeah, you're right. It's a certain style of apartment. And right now, that certain style of apartment, folks, is in the student world, the student accommodation world. Now, why does that matter to us? Are we buying student accommodation as investors? The answer is no, okay? You shouldn't be buying things like student apartments, hotel rooms, the service department, which is part of a hotel pool. There's a bunch of styles of properties that you shouldn't be buying, and the reasons why are the lenders dislike them, they lend less money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then so student accommodation then is provided often, mostly by, you know, big providers, you know, and they build big buildings and there's a whole lot of, you know, whole lot of chains that do that, right? But the challenge is right now, folks, in the world of, you know, the student world, there's an analysis over the coming years. And right now, it's still short by many thousands as well. Over the coming years, the student accommodation world you know, is going 7,000 beds short. 7,000 beds short. 7,000 beds. What would that mean? You know, maybe that would translate to, you know, most of their students would prefer to have their own room. So let's call it 7,000, you know, students short. What? Now, tell me in the chat, how does this, why does this matter to us? We're not buying student accommodation. So, Jason, what does this matter? Where's the opportunity and where's the challenge in this, you know, severe undersupply? There's a severe undersupply everywhere, right? And we're having to look at how would this affect us as investors. So, you know, normally the students would pile into, you know, that's meant to be a high rise or something like that. This is sort of quite a lot of student accommodation. Now, if they can't go there, folks, where are they going to go? What's the next style? Where do they go if they're arriving in Australia? Student accommodation doesn't work. Where's the opportunity, folks? Where's the opportunity? And also, where's the challenge in the marketplace when it comes to this style of property? Whack that in the chat if you think you might know what that opportunity might be or where the challenge is going to be. So that's going to flow 7,000, let's say 7,000 people looking for 7,000 rooms have got to go somewhere, right? They've got to go somewhere. Now, they're going to come out into a regular marketplace, all right? They're going to come out into the rest of the marketplace. And, you know, the opportunity is that bed sits, one bed, yeah, bed right. So that's so the one beds or the bed sits will go up in value, will go up in rent. Now, if you guys haven't seen, and I had that info a little while ago, I didn't put it on the page today, Kylie reminded me there, the one-bedroom properties are going to have been growing at faster rental growth in places like Sydney and Melbourne than any other style of apartment, so, which is pretty interesting, right? So that's good. Your one-bedroom apartment could quite easily achieve 6, 7, maybe even 8% rental yield, depending on the price of the apartment and the rent you can get for it. If you furnish it and you do some things that students want, they want furniture, you know, they want, you know, the internet provided. They want a few things, right? And they tend to be so cyclical in nature of staying in the property. But, you know, so you're dead right, Carly, you know, bed sitters are one bedders going up or being more in demand. You know, Chris, you know, they move into apartment-style accommodation, which pushes out regular tenant. That's exactly what happens. It pushes out the regular tenant, Chris, or it pushes up the rent. Why does it push up the rent? Well, what happens is maybe two or three students will get together and they will share a property. And this is, and Brett said exactly the same. They share rental properties. They share rental houses. Now, often the students don't like to share houses, folks. It's not their favourite style of accommodation. Why? Well, they don't want to maintain anything in the property. They don't want to maintain the grass and all that sort of stuff and whatever. They don't really need that extra space or want it. A lot of the students are young females and they feel safer in, you know, a block of apartments which has got some, you know, ground floor restrictions to get into the building and so on. So there's some, you know, there's some stuff like that. So if you have a good building that's quite safe, you know, close to town, easily furnished, well, this could be an opportunity to, you know, beef up or find a tenant that aggregatedly, anyway, cumulatively might pay more rent for your property than normal, which is a good thing. So for all of us right now, if we've got, let's say, a little one-bed or a two-bed, how could we attract those students? Here's an idea. How could we attract students into our property and maybe get a premium for our rent in comparison? So what are those things that like? 100%, you furnish it, you know, furniture, you provide the internet, electricity. They like to have everything provided all in one go. That's why they often stay in those accommodation to the student style accommodation that's already set up, you know, got access to some things, and you know, they've got little kitchens, and there's a few things. They make sure it's secure, so security is important, and location, walking distance, and things, transport, and whatever. So if you've got those sorts of things, you could bundle that together to attract some students. What are the downside of the students? Usually they, you know, they come for, I think there's three semesters or whatever you call it in the world of study, and there's some gaps in the property. Well, what would you do if you had gaps in the property, if you could in that property? Well, there's a couple of things. You know, if the students aren't there, well, you could maybe rent it out short-term Airbnb style, you know, here and there. You could, you know, maybe for 12 weeks a year, that property's available for, you know, holiday makers, and then the other time it's available for students. So there's a couple of little things to think about right there. So, you know, for the future, you know, this is only looking like it's going to get worse, right? The shortfall of student accommodation, there you go. Exactly, Chris. Like, I'm telling you, team, it's something that's pretty interesting. I've got two properties up in Brisbane, two apartments in Brisbane that I've fully furnished. I haven't rented them to students, but I rented them fully furnished on long-term leases. One, I get $1,850 a week, $1,850 a week, folks, out of one of my properties. And, you know, yeah, that's, so think about that, folks. times 52, that's $96,000 a year out of one property. 96 grand. Not too bad, huh? So why? Because, it's quite big. It's a 4-bedroom apartment. So, you know, it's pretty fancy. And, it's fully furnished, and it's walking distance to everything. So, you know, three people moved in together, and they love it. They love it. So, you know, think of that thing. I've got another one, which is a really nice 2-bedder as well. And it's getting $950 a week fully furnished, when I paid $605. So, yeah, not bad. So, where's the opportunity here? Opportunity is if you've got some properties that might, look at that. You know, Chris has seen it $400 over the regular market, you know. So it's about convenience for the students. They don't want these weird kind of, like, you know, the weirdness. They want sort of an easy in and out. You know, there might be an opportunity for you or maybe one of your properties to be recalibrated and take advantage of that market. There you go. Anyway. Interesting times, hey? All right, well, that's it for me today, folks. I thought it was going to be a short one, but, you know, hey, we had a decent chat. Hope you're all awesome and well for a Monday. Join me again tomorrow. We'll do it again tomorrow. I'm back at back home. I might just cut down on splitting the bills. You're dead right. It's just like, yeah, 100%, mate. I might see if I can. I might just go out for coffee every morning because the internet's better. On my 5G rather than at home. Bloody thing. Anyway. All right. Well, join me tomorrow, folks. We'll do it again 8:10. Hang out. Have another coffee. Until then, you guys know the drill. Be good. Take care. Remember, this thing's a marathon, not a sprint. It takes time to build this property portfolio. All right, folks. That's it from me. See you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.